Volunteers won at LSU. The guy sitting to my left was paving the way for an improbable comeback. And we chat with Ramon Foster about what it is like playing in Death Valley. It's hour number three of Ramona Will, powered by All Four Seasons on 104.5 The Zone. Jonathan Schaefer making the show happen. He was never a pulling guard, but we let him hang out with us anyway.
The best producer in the world!
Because he's the best producer in the world. 11-year NFL veteran involved
hang
for life
from us.
Foster.
You weren't a pulling guard.
Yeah, that's right.
Us. Where's this us?
Yeah, yeah, but I'm delighted.
It's like right out of Tropic Thunder. What do you mean, you people?
Or what's the show with the gif of like the we?
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
That's fine.
That's right.
Yeah, you be all right.
My name's Will.
Is it? Is it really?
Gerald Riggs Jr. scores that touchdown. Yeah, this is fine. Gerald Riggs Jr. scores that touchdown.
Yeah.
And that was a fun one.
It was a fun one, man.
I had the flu during that game.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Did you still go to the game?
I remember. No, I was not there. I've never been to Baton Rouge.
You have? Oh, that's right. This weekend's going to be a new for
the
you,
first time?
Huh?
That's
nice.
Right.
I actually got the game on right now. Boy, this game is grainy. Looking at the old film.
Yeah, you're old.
This is awesome. I'll throw my phone at you right now. You say I'm old again. Barely older than you, young guy.
Uh-huh.
Young guy, get the milk off your lips there, sir.
Oh, okay. Wow. Anyway.
Yeah. But talk about playing in Death Valley, though, man. LSU, we went there. It was right after Katrina happened, man. It was so crazy actually flying over, seeing everything that had happened and everything, man. It was by far one of the most wild environments ever. That crowd was searching for something. It was loud, rambunctious, man. And the way their crowd is set up, like, they are right up on your, like, backs. I think it was Rob Lewis that ended up getting hurt at left guard, and I ended up having to go into the game, man, and finish and get out. You want to talk about, hey, it's time to grow up, and it's time to grow up fast. I will say this. That year, though, I ended up getting, in the spring, most improved, like, for the entire offense.
Really?
For the entire defense. Yeah. I won an award twice. I was wondering how the heck it happened. I won it in 05, and I won it in 07. That year of 2005, I had actually just had toe surgery on my left big toe, man, on my birthday, which is even more crazy.
Uh-huh.
But we go down there, man, and the ending of the game was survive. Like, we had a really good team that year, I thought. And we go down to LSU, and I never forget, like, when the play came, and I'm thinking to myself, don't trip, Moan. Don't fall down. We're going for the win right now. I pull out to the left, kick out the outside linebacker, which would have probably made that tackle. G. Riggs actually ended up running through the inside backer himself on that play. But if it wasn't for the kick out, because we appreciate offensive line on this show, then he would have probably got tackled in the backfield. By far, one of the best games I've ever been a part of. What was that, Shave? Huh?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. I thought somebody had a pushback on what happened.
Mm-hmm.
My recollection of this game.
What was it like playing there, though, under the lights, night game?
It was awesome. This is also the other part of it, too. We escaped out of that city with a win, right? Mm-hmm. And we took a win. There wasn't no escaping out. We took that win. But leaving out, the way the buses were kind of set up, Coach Former said in the front of the bus, leaving out, and there was a guy, man. It was like he's a frat guy, just drunk out of his mind. We're leaving the buses. Throws a beer bottle at the front of the windshield where Coach Former was, shatters it. They shattered like side windows.
Oh, wow.
So to say like they were wanting that win or it just means more in the SEC.
Sure.
Well, it was toxic. They was like, screw Katrina. Like, no, we came here for a win. Like they bust like windows. And the thing about those buses, they belong to the city in which they are. Like those buses didn't travel from Knoxville to come down to Baton Rouge. No. They were a part of the city, but I never forget. I heard a doof, and next thing you know, I saw this big shattered piece of glass on the front of the window, and they bust out the front windshield and a couple of the side ones too, man. It was by far one of the wildest situations ever.
When you think about that season.
Yeah.
That's the best win Tennessee had in 2005.
It was. We didn't make a bowl that year.
You start off number three in the preseason that year.
Yep.
Narrowly beat UAB. I remember being at that game as a kid, being like, they'll figure it out.
Yep.
Like that, it'll be good. You guys are talented. You know, some bumps on the way. You know, the close loss to Florida. That defense was good.
It was.
It was really good.
Should have been a lot more to come out of that team that year, man.
It was a tough schedule, though, too. You look at that schedule. You played at number six Florida.
Yep.
You beat at number four LSU. That was one of two losses that season for that 2005 LSU team that finished ranked number 10, beating Miami 40-3 in the Peach Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That was Joseph Addai, Dwayne Bowe, Matt Flynn, the quarterback. Andrew Whitworth was on that team.
Right.
For LSU that Tennessee beat back in 2005. Jamarcus Russell also, a young Jamarcus Russell on that team.
He's a quarterback right now in this game. What? He's actually started that game.
But Tennessee goes to LSU and wins that game. You guys beat Ole Miss 27-10, and then you lose four straight to number five Georgia, number five Alabama in the 6-3 game that has since been vacated by the Crimson Tide. You lose to South Carolina. That was a tough one at home, 16-15. And then you go to Notre Dame, the game I was at.
Mm-hmm.
The nicest road fans ever. I always say that. And going as a road fan at a college football game, and you go to Notre Dame and lose that 41-21. It's crazy. I always think about that 05 win over LSU, but I don't remember it was 05, to be honest with you, because it sticks out so much as you guys are down 21-0 to that team. Eric Ainge throws the ball, is thrown into the goalpost effectively.
Yeah.
In the back of the end zone. It was Dan Orlovsky before there was Dan Orlovsky. In the back of the end zone. And then Rick Clawson comes in and leads you guys. Yeah. And Gerald Riggs. I mean, it's easy to remember what Gerald Riggs Jr. did. Because going into that season, he was a Heisman candidate.
Yeah, he was.
For Tennessee.
And rightfully so. Absolutely. Riggs has a whole lot of talent. Saw him this past weekend.
Really?
We were at the Florida game.
I really wish you'd introduce me to him. Like, growing up, that dude was him.
You want to hear
that
something?
That dude was a legend.
Very interesting, too, about that 05 season. So I'm getting rid of like a bunch of clothes and stuff like that at the house, right?
Uh-huh.
I go to check. I've had some suits for a while. Okay. I go to get rid of a suit that I had, right? Okay. Or a sports jacket. I pull out a bunch of stuff, right? I get to this one particular jacket and I'm feeling around all my pockets to see if I left something in there. I don't want something personal in there, anything like that.
Sure.
This one particular sports jacket. And I remember buying this one too. I grabbed the pocket. I'm like, there's paper in here. I might have to bring this in, too. There was a Delta ticket stub distributed by Tennessee for my flight on the plane to Notre Dame. And there was also a game plan sheet in that pocket, also full of O-line tips that we were on our way to play.
Remember who was on that defense?
Tuck.
Oh, Justin Tuck was. That's right.
On that defense.
That's right. Samardzija was on that team.
Inky blew him up in that game. Inky was one of the young redshirt freshmen that was playing then.
Right.
But I had a ticket stub from a Delta Air flight to Notre Dame, and I had an old offensive line tip sheet in my suit jacket.
That's awesome.
Now, I'm thinking to myself, that's one thing to have those things, right? But I hadn't worn that suit since 2005. Why do I still have it?
Why do you still have it? Right.
I'm thinking, like, this is a cool moment for me. I'm looking at the tip sheet, and I'm looking at my seat assignment on the plane. I was in the back, by the way, a red shirt freshman.
There you go.
But I'm thinking to myself, Moan, why do you have this suit jacket still with these pants? It's been since 2005, Will. That jacket and pantsuit has followed me from Knoxville for a few years.
Man, that suit's older than Will.
I knew that joke was coming. I was going to get out ahead of it and say it myself, but you just went ahead. And
the reason I got that suit jacket was it gave us a loan to go get clothes for the season.
Okay.
And I went to a suit store and I ended up getting a sports jacket, a blue one that I can wear with multiple things. Dog, Shafe, have y'all ever had anything that you like, I'm going to wear it, I'm going to get to it? This is over almost 20 years.
Uh-huh.
I've yet Good to match. Touch. It went from Pittsburgh. Well, it went from Knoxville to Pittsburgh. And I'm sure back to Pittsburgh, back to Hendersonville.
Okay.
All within almost 20 years. Dude, what the heck?
Yeah. Well,
come on, Mo.
I'm impressed.
That is quite impressive. I sent it to our group chat of guys I play with. I was like, dude, why do you still have that and that suit? Lo and behold, though, it is real bulky and big, too.
That team, that Tennessee team, and we saw that was Randy Sanders last year as offensive coordinator in Tennessee. Great guy. I remember, always remember him after Kentucky beat Tennessee and broke the streak 10-9.
Yeah.
Him holding up a piece of paper and said this was our play sheet for today. And it was like a piece of notebook paper with a couple plays on it after they won that game. And that was a Tennessee team that should have been a lot better under Derek Dooley. But
that group had a bunch of All-Americans on it, too.
That Jason Allen was a first-round pick off of that team. Paris Harrelson,
R.I.P. to my
Omar Gaither, Jesse Mahalona, a fifth-round pick by the Tennessee Titans.
All-American.
In the 2006 Justin NFL Harrell. Draft. And Kevin Simon, seventh-round pick by the Washington franchise, was drafted that season. So I think we saw, kind of wrapping a bow on this, on our look, Ramon, we could go down memory lane on old Tennessee games that I remember that you played in. we could do entire shows of just this. Because it's so cool. But I think we saw the next year when David Cutcliffe came in, just how talented y'all
different.
Were.
It was different.
Like, you say, oh, that team should have been better. Yeah. We were talented. Well, we have the proof of concept because you guys gave up 3 sacks the entire season.
It was
the different. Next year as an offensive line with Eric Ainge at the helm.
Yeah, man.
So,
Cut's the truth.
Good times. Will not be the same atmosphere, though, this Saturday. Todd Furman on 3HL earlier this week, shout out to their conversation. That was actually late last week, said that the fact that Tennessee LSU is at 11 a.m. instead of a night game is worth 1 point of the spread.
Really?
He said if Tennessee, I think, open is 4.5. I've seen it at 2.5-point favorite for the Vols on a lot of books. It would be 1.5 if it was a night game.
Oh, wow.
I think it honestly would just be a pick 'em.
I almost think it would be, too.
If it was a night game.
They said, I'm not sure if this room is true, but they said Saban requested a 11 a.m. kickoff at Knoxville.
He doesn't get to...
Is that true, though? You can kind of do that?
It's not.
All right,
it's not.
Yeah, the Tennessee-Alabama game is a 2:30 Central stuff.
2:30 and Smokey Gray's this weekend at LSU.
On the road.
Road Smokey Gray's. Second time the Smokey Gray uniforms will have been worn outside of Neyland Stadium. The other time was Tennessee's win over Nebraska in the Music City Bowl when Derek Barnett broke the all-time sack record in Tennessee. Nashville native.
Shout out to Derek Barnett.
Derek Barnett, man. DB, that's my guy.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, we talk with Emily Proud of 247 Sports, CBS Sports, hosting anchor for them, talking about college football from Tennessee's perspective, but also around the SEC, how surprising Georgia's performance, or lack thereof, against Missouri was, and which fan base is panicking the most right now in the SEC, because I think Texas A&M has a strong case to have the largest amount of panic in the Southeastern Conference right now. We'll get her thoughts on that. Continue the conversation right here on Ramona Will, powered by All Four Seasons on 104.5 The Zone.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at CumulusBoost.com.
Hour number 3 of Ramona Will, powered by All Four Seasons on 104.5 The Zone. Going down memory lane, talking a little bit of Tennessee LSU with Ramon Foster. And now we preview this weekend's matchup, as well as all of the other college football headlines. Ramon Foster, Will Bowling, Jonathan Schaefer with you. As we head to the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline, we are joined by our friend Emily Proud, anchor and host of 247 Sports and on CBS Sports. Emily, first of all, congratulations on the new gig. First time we've had you on with the new job. Congrats. How are you?
If I wasn't already awake, whoo!
Yeah, there you go.
Something about air horns at 8 a.m.
Welcome.
Get you going.
Welcome.
Thank you, guys. I'm so happy to be on.
Love it. The last time Tennessee played LSU, it was a torrential downpour. Do you have like rain jackets and like shoes that have dried out since that game in Neyland Stadium the last time Tennessee played LSU?
Yeah, that was one of those games where you just throw it all away. I mean, you're not coming back from that. I love it too. I had like these tall rain boots on that, you know, you could go like fishing in a river with, and they were just filled with water. We were like pouring out our shoes. It was kind of nuts, but I think what was interesting too is the guys that were on the sideline for each of those teams too. That was the first debut of Brady Hoke as interim head coach. It was just craziness, like blast from the past when I was thinking about the last time that they played LSU. So it looks like the weather's going to be a little bit better on Saturday, so I'll take that.
From your perspective, going to Death Valley, the real Death Valley, by the way, what is it like in Louisiana or Baton Rouge for you guys? Like, is it as toxic as we think it is as players on the field?
I've never been.
Oh!
I've actually never been. No, that was in Neyland Stadium the last time that they played. So I have no idea, but goodness, Tennessee fans got to be pretty excited that game's at 11 a.m. as opposed to a night game in Death Valley.
Well, let me tell you this. I told Will in our last segment, having a beer bottle thrown at the team bus leaving the field is definitely something that you don't want to be a part of often when playing in LSU.
Yeah, I have to imagine it's probably a similar experience for any SEC team in enemy territory. I wouldn't say that's just LSU fans. I can imagine there might be some things that have been thrown at the occasional Florida game down in Gainesville, although, you know, Florida fans should be pretty happy they've come out successful in a lot of those previous meetings. So maybe in the future, who knows?
This is true. No throwing shoes this time either, like that Florida LSU game in Gainesville. So, Emily, aside from having 11 and not 13 players on the field for Tennessee in this LSU game, what is the biggest key for you? Where do you kind of approach this matchup from the Tennessee perspective?
Yeah, I know that obviously your eyes go immediately to offense, but I really want to see what Tennessee looks like on defense against this Florida State team that, you know, is led by Jaden Daniels, and he's a very safe quarterback. I think even his head coach, Brian Kelly, said, you know, I want you to spin it a little bit. I want you to take some risks downfield, and they've got solid receivers that he can use that he just hasn't so much. And so I think that Tennessee has a good opportunity to make life difficult for him. And so I know that there's going to be some differences with the Tennessee's defense. They're a little banged up with Warren Burrell out for the season. So we'll see, you know, just some new guys in there and some youth. And so to see how they handle that road environment, I think is really interesting. But this is definitely a beatable LSU team. I mean, it took a 21-point swing for them to come back and beat Auburn, which, as we know, is going through a rough patch right now, I think is the kindest way of saying that. And so for Tennessee to just not take their foot off the gas and beat, although it is beating LSU on the road in Baton Rouge, which sounds like a difficult task, and it obviously is. I mean, any road game in the SEC is tough, as evident by what we saw in Georgia and Missouri. And so just for Tennessee to be able to beat the teams that they're supposed to beat and to win these games, I think is something that I'm looking out for. But my eyes probably go straight to the defense to start, just to see what they're able to do, because I feel pretty good about what the offense is doing.
Could you have imagined about 2 years ago that Tennessee would even be in this conversation? Like, we're talking about top 10, no matter however you want to spin it, as far as, well, they hadn't played, all those types of what ifs or what about with Tennessee. Could you have imagined Josh Heupel would be the guy to get them to this point?
I felt pretty good about Josh Heupel and his ability to, you know, take over for a Tennessee team that was also going through quite a rough patch. I mean, I was there in Knoxville. That's why there's the video of me at the LSU game getting absolutely swamped. Is I wasn't just covering what was happening on the field. There was a lot of chaos happening off the field as well, with different coaching hires and a new athletic director and all of these crazy things that were going on, not to mention the, you know, NCAA violations and everything that's going on there. And so to see the turnaround this quickly is definitely shocking for me. I think when I saw Josh Heupel was hired, it felt like a good stabilizing hire. But also in the interim, you knew that Tennessee football at least was going to be somewhat more fun to watch because he was going to have exciting offenses. It was going to be something different than we've seen. You've got that tempo. But, you know, Hendon Hooker obviously has been a huge surprise in that he's in the Heisman conversation right now. I don't think anybody would have told you that they expected that. But ultimately, I thought that, you know, when they brought in Heupel, it was going to get better. But no, I could not have imagined top 10 in year two.
Emily Proud, CBS Sports, with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Emily, where does Hendon Hooker fit for you in the Heisman conversation? It feels like as much as the team aspect is weighted into that award, it's going to be tough for him. But do you think he's at least got a chance to make it to New York?
Yeah, you said it, the team element. I think he goes as far as Tennessee is able to go. You know, you got to be one of those relevant teams down the stretch. And so far from what we've seen, you know, through 5 weeks of action – I believe that Tennessee can be one of those teams that we're still talking about at the end of the season. I know the discussion is already happening with, you know, can they potentially push Georgia and get to Atlanta, I think has been kind of the topic of discussion. And it especially helps when Georgia struggles while Tennessee is just sitting at home getting healthy. It further, you know, stirs the pot there with that discussion. But if you are one of those teams that is able to play for a conference championship and, God forbid, be in one of the top four at the end of the year, absolutely, that helps your quarterback in the Heisman race. But, gosh, he's going up against some pretty stiff competition. I would say that my favorite right now, you know, silently, C.J. Stroud has just been taking care of business. So I'm going to put him there. But I do not think it's that far out of the realm of possibility for Hendon Hooker to get the invite, because he's got the team that can find some success and still be relevant towards the end of the year. He's got the offense to do it, and they're just incredibly explosive. And you lose one of the top receivers in the SEC and Cedric Tillman for a few weeks, and 10 other guys step up, and you realize that, yes, these are great wide receivers. They have a deep room there, but also Hooker makes them look better. And so he has the numbers. He's got the team. I definitely don't think that it's crazy that he gets the invite to New York.
This past weekend was some good college football. Georgia got, you know, put to a test this past weekend by Missouri, of all people. Do you see that as a, hey, we found a weak link when it comes down to Georgia football, or was it just Missouri played a really good game?
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. That was the most head-scratching game for me to watch. I kept, you know, I was trying to look at the live stats while it was happening, and based on what I saw on the field, it just didn't match up. I mean, Georgia was absolutely dominating them in most categories, but, you know, credit to the Mizzou kicker, just could not miss a kick. But it's all the things that you think that you can't do in order to pull off the upset, right? You can't be outgained. You can't be kicking field goals against Georgia. It was just really confusing for me to watch. I will say that people much smarter than I, and hopefully other teams in the SEC and you know, Tennessee, one of them too, especially in the East, they're able to look at this game and find a blueprint to make Georgia look a little bit more human and to make it beatable. As just a layman like me watching it, I'm not, you know, I can't go ahead and say that, like, oh, if they do this, then yeah, Georgia's totally gonna get beat. But it did certainly help that Georgia lost their star defensive lineman, Jalen Carter, in the first half with that knee injury. I think that opened the door for Missouri to run the ball well against them and to find some success. But I think what it should signal to, you know, the future opponents of Georgia is that there is a way. Mm-hmm. But also what I said earlier is it is hard to win on the road in the SEC. I know it's Missouri, and I know we want to say, well, it's just Missouri and it's Georgia and they should go and dominate them. It is tough, and they talked about that after the game too, the Georgia players, just how tough that environment is, and getting a win, pretty or ugly, is a big deal.
Emily, speaking of teams that lost on the road in the SEC over the weekend, I'm curious which fan base you think is more worried right now, Texas A&M fans after a loss to Mississippi State, or their future SEC rivals in Oklahoma after two straight losses in the Big 12 and a beatdown to the hands of TCU?
Yeah, I saw somebody compare the two, actually, and I really liked it how Oklahoma, you know, for all the fanfare and excitement with, you know, the history of that program, they said that they're going to enter the SEC kind of like Texas A&M and just go 8-4 every year.
Right. Wow.
I liked that comparison from the standpoint of, again, what I said is it's really hard to win in the SEC. And obviously if you're struggling in the Big 12, then you worry about that. But we need to give some patience to Brent Venables. You know, I think what the thing that's most surprising to me is he's a defensive guy and they've given up like 96 points in the last two games. So that's a little bit of a concern. But the Big 12 is wacky. The Big 12 has so much depth too. I think it's a very underrated conference and is a lot of fun to watch this year. And it's just kind of the weirdness of what's been happening with Oklahoma, but also, you know, it's not just the new head coach. I mean, you lose your star player and Caleb Williams, you lose Mario Williams too, who's a darn good wide receiver, and a list of other guys that they lost in the transfer portal. And so this was not a situation where Venables could just show up and, you know, continue to do what Lincoln Riley did, the same exact pieces. It's going to take a little bit of time. So I'll give some patience there, but, not a lot of patience for Texas A&M. My goodness, what a pickle that they're in. What is it, a $95 million buyout for Jimbo Fisher? And the fact that we're talking about it, too, is also incredibly concerning. And the problem, again, as I said with Brent Venables, is the defense, and he's a defensive guy. The problem is the offense and who's calling the plays. The guy that you got to pay $95 million to go away. And so I think what's also shocking, too, is his buyout doesn't drop below $50 million until, like, 2027. So get comfy. I don't think that Texas A&M's issues can immediately be solved this year. I don't think it's as easy as what they tried, which is changing quarterbacks. I think it was a bit of a bump, but is not going to completely overhaul the offensive struggles that they've been facing. What they need to do is just throw a bunch of money at whatever offensive coordinator that they want in the offseason, and Jimbo's got to take a step back and let whoever that is get to work. But it's hard to imagine a way in which they can completely turn around on the offensive side of the ball this year. Their defense is saving their butt on multiple occasions, though.
Emily Brown with us. No, I know that there's a Buc-ee's in Tennessee now between Nashville and Knoxville, and that Buc-ee's is a big Texas A&M like revenue source. They're going to need all the Beaver Nugget sales from the Crossville Buc-ee's to just make this buyout happen. I feel like every time I go to a Tennessee game, I'm contributing. No free shout-outs, but I'm contributing to Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher's buyout.
As well. When I made the trip from Nashville to Knoxville to watch the Florida game, and I went to Buc-ee's, I got some Beaver Nuggets, so I'm doing my part too, Aggies. But I think it's going to take a few more Beaver Nuggets and maybe some of that oil money too.
That's right.
But I don't think that's happening. They gotta just get comfy and figure something out that is moving forward with Jimbo Fisher. It doesn't seem possible.
I would feel sorry for him, but I don't. Okay, just so you know. Either way, Jimbo's going to be fine, whether he's in the stressful job of coaching or whether he get that Ed Orgeron buyout. Regardless, he's good, okay? On the other side, though, Kentucky takes an L to Ole Miss. Could have went either way, but, of course, Will Levis. I thought he lost the game for him twice as far as the fumble, and then, of course, just being careful with the ball. What is Kentucky? I know it's just one loss, and I think highly of them, but they got to be able to beat teams I felt like that they should have beat on the road with Ole Miss.
Yeah, and I think going into this game, 7 was quite a stretch to have Kentucky ranked there. I think a lot of times, you know, AP poll voters will give their preseason rankings, and then they don't want to defer too much from it, and so they don't want to knock a team if they haven't lost. And you know, Kentucky had the good win on the road at Florida. Again, I'll say it 17 times. It's hard to win on the road in the SEC, as evident by what we saw Saturday from the Cats. But I will say it was such a weird broadcast to listen to and to watch, because you bring in the Todd McShay and the sideline to talk about how Will Levis could be the number one quarterback taken, could be the number one pick in this draft. So there's all this hype where you're talking about, you know, why is nobody talking about Will Levis? You know, we're discussing Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud and all these great quarterbacks. But according to a lot of, you know, the insiders that he would talk to and scouts in the NFL, they're keyed in on Will Levis. And then you see kind of the performance that you saw. And so that was interesting to watch and to listen to and to not see him necessarily rise to the occasion. But I've got to give him the benefit of the doubt, because that offensive line is awful. He is running for his life. He is having so much trouble. You saw what happened to his fingers, just bent in half. It's absolutely disgusting. So you don't have to question his toughness. The fact that the sideline report was, well, he just snapped him back into place and taped it up and he's good to go. I would be done for the year with an injury like that. So I exactly, like, I got to give him the benefit of the doubt there. But also, Kentucky's supposed to have this really great run game, and they haven't. And I know they've been missing Chris Rodriguez, and he came back, but he was pedestrian on Saturday too. And so I really wish that we could get a better evaluation of Will Levis behind a solid offensive line, because it's just not it this year.
Good stuff. Emily Proud has been our guest. Emily now with 247 Sports CBS. Congrats again, Emily. Let's do it again soon. Good stuff as always.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. And congrats to you, Will. I'm loving the show.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. There is Emily Proud with us here on the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline. The show off and running here in hour number 3.
Yeah, Emily's good, man. Congrats, too, on her next move
that
she just had, man. That's big time. I love seeing people get elevated in positions like that, man. I'm
crushing it.
Yeah, she's good. But Will Levis conversation, though.
Let's continue that after the break, because I have been a Will Levis defender over the course of the whole offseason, and I'm ready to make a proclamation about Will Levis
at the quarterback position. Whatever this is.
I might even pour a little bit of mayonnaise in my coffee out of solidarity. At the beginning, I'm not going to do that.
That makes my soul turn.
Oh, my God. It's a vote of Will, powered by all four seasons of 104.5 The Zone.
Join 104.5 The Zone each Thursday at Buffalo Wild Wings for our Titans football feast. Stop by for your chance to win Titans tickets and giveaways each hour. Thanks to Miller Lite and Buffalo Wild Wings for a full schedule of events and locations. Find out the location for this week by going to 104.5thezone.com.
Gentlemen, I'm ready to make a proclamation here at the end of Hour 3. It's Ramona Will, powered by all four seasons of 104.5 The Zone. Many are saying this is the most important announcement that will be made on this show today.
Because
1 hour from now,
you ain't told me
Ramon Foster doesn't know what's coming. By the way, Ramona Will, powered by all four seasons. Will Bowling, Ramon Foster, Jonathan Schaefer with you. I am ready to say that if Will Levis is the number one pick in the 2023 NFL draft, I will drink coffee with mayonnaise on the air live on this radio station.
Oh, my God. If
I am officially a doubter.
Breaking sports news.
Thank you.
104.5 The Zone.
I will drink a cup of coffee with mayonnaise in it, like Will Levis does, the quarterback of the University of Kentucky.
Yeah, say it.
Say it.
Kentucky.
Say it.
Thank you.
I will drink coffee with mayonnaise in it if Will Levis is the number one overall pick in the 2023 NFL draft. I am a hater and a doubter. I would like to go on the record. It's been under review. I texted people over the weekend and said, my praise of Will Levis is under further consideration. That consideration has ended, and I have made my decision, and I'm going to stick with it. I'm committing to the University of Doubting Will Levis. University. State University.
You know the beauty in Will making this bet safe?
He knows he's probably going to win the bet.
No, not even just that. Will, we don't even know if Will going to be on this show in a year.
Oh, that's true. No, well, that's what I'm saying is I will come into this studio. And that's why I said I will do it on the air.
That's a bold strategy, Kyle.
I will do it on the air.
Hey, Shay, that's like saying, man, you know what? I bet you I could swim across the Atlantic.
I said I will do it on the air on this station. I never said it would be this show. That's why I said I don't know if I'm going to be on here.
Will, stop. That was a bold bet right there, Shay.
If it was 3 minutes in the future, I would yell to go to break thing, but we still have to. We can't pay the bills
That's
yet.
Just like saying JFK is still alive. Longer. Stop.
I said on the air. I said on the air. Anyway, I am on the. Look at my tweet. I never said on this show. I said, I am on the record. I will drink coffee with mayo in it if Will Levis is the number one pick of the 2023 NFL draft. Live on the air.
Oh,
goodness. Anyway. So,
comments in the chat. Damn, Ramon Savage. Laughing emojis. Violence. Nephew Selly. Pure violence. Lulz. Timothy House says, LOL, Ramon. I hope so.
Oh, no.
LMFAO. I like Will.
Oh, there you go. I was going to say, you better include the ending.
Daniel L., the hazing is real today.
Really is.
Yeah, it is. Well, since nobody wants to tell me whatever the secret is, I guess I got to shoot at somebody, Will. You're just on the other side
shooting
of this mic right now,
it's
man.
Fine.
I'll drink coffee with mayo in it.
Drink coffee with mayo in it on the air. I didn't say on the show. I might not grace your presence. I might not grace you with my presence. I might go to 3HL and say, hey, Ron, I want to give you some content. I'm not giving Ramon content.
You're looking for a fight.
I'll walk around from my digital studio as the digital executive producer of Digital Enterprises, in charge of sales, in charge of digital.
You see, wait, Ramon or bus?
Weekdays from 6 to 10.
You think Savage,
that's a good name of a show, Ramon or bus.
You think Savage going to side with you? I'm going on 3HL. You know what they're going to do? They're going to put Joe Hunk on the mic, man.
Slay's my guy. I'd like to think we're friends. Slay and I travel in a Baton Rouge together this weekend. We're gonna plan it then.
You know what you're there for? They go get Ron drinks.
Okay. So make sure Ron don't get arrested.
All right.
have $500.
Somebody had to go get the rental car.
To make sure Ron makes his flight on time.
I'm old enough to go get the rental car now, so that's why they sent me down there, just to appease me to finally rent a car for the first time.
You thought this was about you, Will.
Uh-huh, not it.
Boy, man, no.
Anyway.
No.
Number one overall pick of the draft, if he is.
Good bet, though.
If Will Levis is the number one overall pick in the draft, I'll drink coffee with mayonnaise in it.
On somebody's show.
I'll give you more details. I'll get one of the coffee cups. The coffee cups.
That was better than my coffee this
morning. In the break room.
Yeah.
And do a one Mississippi of mayonnaise squirt out of a squirt bottle. With coffee from the break room.
Ooh,
oh, God.
Okay, I'm with it. What kind of mayo? Is it mayo or is it mayonnaise? A Miracle
Duke's
Whip.
Mayo.
Duke's mayo. Ooh, Duke's mayo.
Oh, it's going to be Duke's. Okay.
Ooh, that's bold.
In honor of the artist formerly known as the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
They say you're basically parental oversight.
May it RIP in peace. Well, that's fine. It's not the first time. Not the last time.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with
I'm the youngest in my family by 10 years, but, I'll still give parental oversight.
But you're the favorite in your family.
Of course.
Of course. Although we love to hang with your sister.
I'm kidding.
Okay, we love
We're all equally loved. We are all equally loved.
The lies that your parents have told you for years, Will. No.
About being equally loved? No, we're all equal. Come on.
No, the grandbaby just took somebody's spot.
Well, that's fair.
Your little nephew that's got fair. A spot.
The two little grandkids.
Who got pushed
running
down?
Around?
Who got
just
pushed
know, once spot. The grandkids are born, everybody goes down.
Everybody drops down a slot. That's
Nobody
right.
Nobody matters they anymore.
As we should.
Absolutely not.
It's all right. Tough times.
I would love to see you drink this mayo coffee.
I was going to say, you're going to be a big Kentucky fan.
Hell no. Y'all got me once with that. You're
Schaefer,
not getting
do you
me
have
again.
The, do you have the recordings of Ramon saying, I'm riding with Kentucky? Oh, here we go.
Nope, I'm not.
Shout out to Schaefer.
Never.
Comes into the day and says, every single time you give credit to Kentucky, I record it.
I'm riding with Kentucky. See, that's why.
It's when you were in Pittsburgh.
That's why I chose Kentucky to win this weekend against my own better judgment.
You're going to be like, they're going to be playing like Adam State. You're going to be like, I'm riding with Adam State. Just so there's that recording of you riding
myself,
with Kentucky.
I said, Mom, I hope both of them lose. I said that on air. Schaefer didn't save that part, though. No. Uh-uh. He saved the part that said I would root for.
Now your mic has been turned off. Oh, I love it.
That's
I love it. Jonathan Schaefer really
cut.
Is just acting a fool this morning.
Man, for real, y'all going to tell me what's the announcement? Like,
no,
legitimate.
You got to wait.
No.
I hate y'all, boy. I
was hoping
notice.
This was the announcement.
When the Titans go on this bye, I'm going on bye, too. That's because y'all keep me out of the loop on stuff. Blaming me for you bless my heart.
I just did.
Blessing your heart.
We gonna do about a 5-2 slow.
Should I get the mop or the bucket?
No.
Should I get the mop or the bucket?
No. No, Will. See, that's you're wrong again. It's give me the bucket or the towel.
Oh, bucket or towel. That's all.
Do you not know how to waterboard somebody?
I really don't. I can't say that I do.
Me either.
Okay, perfect.
Well, you want to find out?
Maybe we'll find out when we come back. That is not a bet that I will make if Will Levis is the number one overall pick. No, not a bet that I would have made. 615-737-1045 if you want to jump in. Ron Slay coming up in hour number four, plus an announcement that Ramon Foster is fighting us about. Yeah. Fighting against, just to try to figure out if he can get it out of us. For the final segment of the show today. That's coming up within the hour. Hour number four, four is up, ladies and gentlemen. Whether you have mayonnaise in your coffee or not, we're going to continue with one more hour. 104.5 The Zone. Go to break!
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.